Good, good. So I'm going to read this because I know time is of essence. It's a living sacrifice to God. Romans 12, 1 through 13. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let there be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privileges and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard to serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you, Miss Jackie. Hey, welcome, everybody. Got a nice audience out there today. Just thank you for tuning in. We have with us today, we have Miss Jackie Vandegrift, Rebecca Johnson, Callie Pierce, and Lakeisha Clyburn, and you, okay? So we're going to talk to all you guys today and have us a little round table and anybody else that want to join in with us. And just make sure you press one so I know where you are, okay? So, hey, it's Christmas time, you know. Do you remember when you were a kid and what Christmas was for you? I do. It was full of love and happy times, had a safe, secure home, warmth, lots of presents, good food, folks, and fun. Hey, we had snow back then, lots of snow, where you made snowmen and snow angels and snow. Didn't have any worries. The parents and the adults were in charge. We received all kind of gifts. You know, back then we received like the things that we really, really needed, like, you know, pajamas and house shoes and, you know, personal items and dolls and things like that. The whole living room was full of presents. It was so, it was a lot of us, so it was a lot of presents, so it looked like just the whole room was full, okay? I don't think we cared about what we received because I never ever heard anyone complain. We were just glad to be safe and in a warm, you know, warm place to be. Later on, we got bikes and pool tables and ping pong tables and things like that, activities just to keep us busy. And quality time was spent. And most important, we had love. So, you know, each level as we, you know, got older you know, we were shown responsibility. We watched our parents, our neighbors, and everybody in our community just be a team, work together and be a team in our community. And then, you know, that was passed on to the next generation, okay? Passed on. Get that picture in your head. You know, I know that everybody has a picture, you know, of a moment that and a time that they had just what I said. And so in turn, we became adults, and then we passed, you know, what we learned, everything that we learned to the next generation of our kids, you know, our grandkids, our nieces and nephews, the importance of work ethics and working together and teamwork and the things that we saw our neighbor and the community do. So that's what we learned in our time. And, you know, we went to church, we used to pray, things like that, and went to work, had work ethics. We made sure that our children were okay. We had to make sure that the next generation was okay. From what we learned, we passed it down to them because we was okay. So we had to make sure the next generation was okay. They traveled. They had lots of activity. It might have been a little bit different from what our parents did, but it was the same, you know, as far as teamwork, activity, and just being busy and having good work ethics. And so you do a little bit more for the next generation. We traveled. You know, we made sure that, you know, we went to church and our kids knew who God was. And in turn, they're passing it down to their generation, their kids, the next generation, what they were taught. And most of them are doing well. And, you know, the beat just goes on. And each generation should be getting better and better and better and better and better, okay? But somewhere the ball was dropped. And we are in a time where there is, you know, not a lot of love, a lot of violence, a lot of disrespect. No morals, okay, so much that, you know, a lot of us and people want to just kind of close their eyes and just pretend that nothing is going on, okay? And we think that, you know, everything is okay, and if it's not happening to us, you know, specifically, it's not happening to us or me or mine, but we just never know. You know, what will happen, when things will happen, because things are happening so fast before our eyes. And we just can't keep closing our eyes. We have to open them and see what's going on and face it head on and try to make, you know, things better for the next generation, okay? It's time for a change, and we have to be the change that we want to see so that the next generation can continue where we left off at, you know, the good, loving, productive citizens that we are and that they are. So we want to keep seeing that. We want to keep seeing good, productive citizens. Mm-hmm. How? How are we going to do this? Hmm? Are we going to bring back what we had and what the next generation have, so that the next generation can, and this thing can just keep going. Okay? Okay? Our youth need to make it in this world. Okay? So, what we've started here is Bring Back the Family. This is the Bring Back the Family show. Okay? And this show is designed to bring awareness to what we need to do for our youth in order for them to be good, productive citizens so that our youth can contribute and be a contribution to others all around this world. And all they need is a good foundation, okay? And that foundation as parents and community comes from me and you, from me and you. Someone did it for us, so we have to do the same for them. We have to give them what they need to make it, or else we will be victims of not helping. We'll be victims of not giving them what they need to make it, okay? We'll be the victims of it, and we're seeing a lot of that now. So what do we propose to do? Bring Back the Family propose that we do this block by block. Do something for your youth on your block. Okay, we were given what we needed to make it, so we should know what we need to do in order for the next generation to have what they need to make it. Okay, it's time, and it's just simply giving back, giving more of what we had. Okay, it's a different time now, a different mindset, different generational mindset, and just meeting them at where they are. And, you know, really, basically, all we had was some good old-fashioned love, love and concern. Love, kindness, and concern. Just really, just plain old love. That's what we had. And love goes a long way if we just give it, okay? Our youth need us to talk to them. They need us to communicate and find out what's going on with them. Find out what's on their mind. Find out what they need, okay? So block by block, do something on your block, you know? Give them something. Activity, books, conversation. Give them some good stories. I've gotten busy on my block. And do you know, kids, They love that attention. They love for you to care for them. They love for you to see about them and ask them questions and see what they're doing. And once you start giving them and showing them some care and concern, you will never be able to get rid of them, okay? And this, in turn, is going to make them be able to help somebody later in their time. We all get a turn, and we all get our time. So is it fair for the next generation not to have a good, wholesome life? A good, wholesome life? So, what's our sacrifice? Are we going to sacrifice now or later? Okay, now or later? Later may be too late. You have to keep it moving. You have to give them what they need to make it. Are we going to sacrifice now or later? Which will it be? We can sacrifice now and spend quality time with our children, making sure they are prepared for the future. What does that mean? Investment, putting time in, education. They need the secular education where they can make money and have what they need, you know, food, shelter, clothing, all of that. And they need the Christian education. Okay, they need to know who God is, who's going to protect them and lead them and guide them through this world. You know, wherever they go, they need to take God with them. Socialization, activities, you know, activities and things like karate, soccer, basketball, hockey, football. You know, parents need to be involved. They need to be involved in their education, in their learning. They need to go to parent-teacher conferences, make sure they're reading, get them a tutor if that's what they need. They need to be explored in their careers. What are they going to be? What are they going to do with their life? What career are they going to achieve? Do they want to be a business for themselves? What is it that they want to do? Do we know what they want to do? Are we asking them? Do we care? Okay, I went to get an x-ray the other day, and it wasn't even an x-ray technician on site to give an x-ray. Went called down the date to see if I could get an x-ray. Couldn't get one. No one there. We need some x-ray technicians so that they'll have enough so where they could take turns being off, and when somebody needs to get an x-ray, somebody will be there. That's a good career. It's a good way to make some money, to be able to take care of yourself and your family. Communication. Our youth need us to communicate with them, find out what's on their mind, what they're thinking. And if they ain't thinking right, give them something to think about. Help them think right. That's our job as adults and their kids. That's our job, to communicate with them, find out if they're okay. Okay? Give them travel. Take them some places. Let them explore. Don't just keep them in the house or keep them just on one street. Take them places. Take them to the science center. Take them out of town. Take them to the mountains and name the mountains. You know, they can learn wherever they go. One thing they need is love, love, love. They need family. They need to know respect. Okay? Our children only go this way one time. Just one time. If we sacrifice later and wait to invest or don't invest at all, what kind of return do we expect? Don't we want the best for our children, for our youth, for our kids? What can we offer in 2023 to make sure all children matter? Okay? Children, youth, kids, to have a way to support themselves when they become adults. They have to have a way. You have to start them early on what they need to know. We need to talk to them and communicate with them early so they know what is the expectations, their expectations, or what is expected of them as young adults or kids. Start early. You're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer, nurse. Yeah, because they're not going to be babies long. The time is now. Sacrifice, invest. It's our responsibility as adults and community, okay? We need nurses. We need x-ray technicians. We need dentists, anesthesiologists, physical therapists, lawyers, doctors, surgeons, special trades, builders, plumbers, electricians, entrepreneurs. We have to have high expectations and make sure they can compete and be prepared. Somebody got to fill all these positions. You got these big old giant hospitals. All those positions in those hospitals need to be filled. They need to be filled. And we need to see our kids in those positions. When? They only going to be babies for a minute. The time is now. We need to give them that time that they need so that they could grow, just like they gave us what we needed. We're strong, healthy people. Making it, have our own lives, have our own homes, have everything we need to make it, and enough to share. So we don't know how long our time is. So it's good that we could give back and help the next generation. It's good. That's what we should be doing. What are we going to do for God before we leave here? What kind of legacy are we going to leave? What would the kids be able to look forward to? Okay? I want to see a beautiful picture going forward. And so if we all get together and do what we can do to help the next generation, help somebody's youth, kid, child, while you helping yours, help them. Help them. If they need help, help them so that they can have what they need so your kids could be safe. Okay? Because right now none of us are safe. To get out here, we have to help. We have to give these kids some love and show them some love because they're watching us. We have to show love, more love. Yeah. Christmas. It's Christmas time, and love is in the air. And it's a time for giving. And, hey, get some books. See what's going on your block. And let's make some things happen. Let's make some things happen, okay? Because if we don't help our youth now, we will be victims of not helping later. Let's not let our kids be victims. Be victims. Let them be the survivors, the ones who's going to help make this world better. When it's time for them to make it better, start them early. Talk to them positively early. Okay? All right, so I'm going to open up these mics and we're gonna get this show going and solve some problems and some issues. Okay, so like I said, we have Jocelyn Vandegrift, we have Sister Rebecca Johnson, and we have Lakeisha Clyburn, which is my niece, and she's been trying to get on this show, and she has so much to offer the youth, and she has so many great ideas. And, you know, we just want to discuss and talk about what we're going to do for 2023, going into 2023. What are we going to offer the youth? What are we going to offer the next generation to get them where they need to be coming up, you know? They're going to school every day. What are we going to have to offer for next year to make sure that they have the grades that they need so that they could go on further, they could pass to the next grade and keep passing and have the grades that's going to take them where they need to go in the future, okay? Business, what are we showing them? Let's show them how to do business so they can have their own business. Me and Ms. Jackie talk about business all the time, you know, that kids' grades can be their business. Just going to school and making good grades, that could be their business, and that could start them to have their own business. So making their grades is their business, and then that could lead to other business ventures, okay? So your mics are open, and we are just going to talk about what we plan to do, what we have to offer for 2023 to the next for the next year, for our kids to be able to grow and their future to be bright. So, hello, Jocelyn, Lakeisha, Rebecca Johnson. Hello, everyone.
Good evening.
And Merry Christmas.
Hi, how are you doing?
Let's get this roundtable discussion going. Let's talk about what we're going to do for 2023 and what we need to do. And what are you guys doing now with, if you have children, what are you doing to help your kids? Give us some pointers and give the listening audience some pointers on what you do for your youth to keep them busy, to keep helping them with their future. Hello. Talk to me. Who want to go first?
Hi.
Let me see. How about, hello, Keisha. Lakeisha, are you with us?
I am. This is Lakeisha.
Well,
how's
hello.
Everybody
how
doing?
You doing, sweetheart?
Doing well on this cold night.
It is cold.
Yes.
It's cold. It's nice to be in and just, you know, being warm. You know, and I was just thinking, I was like, golly, when I was out earlier, I just could not wait to get back in. And I was like, man, wait a minute, what's my headphones? I couldn't wait to get back in. I was like, Lord, oh, my God, it's you got homeless people out there that have to endure this cold. And I was like, man, this it made me think about my show, and I was like, bring back the family, because our kids can be homeless if they don't get what they need. If they don't get what they need, they could wind up homeless one day and out here in all this elements of the weather. That just went through my mind, you know.
Well, there are a lot of kids that are homeless currently. You know, there are kids, there are people on the street now that don't have any place to go, you know.
Wow.
It can.
I guess so. Yes, that is true. Because, like we said, if we don't help our youth now, we'll be victims. And so the ones that are out there that didn't get what they need, then, you know, they're kind of out there. They're kind of out there, and, you know, anything can happen.
Right.
And they're going to take action, you know, to get what it is that they need. So that's the big picture, actually, you know. That's the big picture.
You said something
that's what
earlier
makes them dangerous.
You said something earlier to me about, you know, because it's not happening to us, we don't see it happening to other people. And that's something that I've been really aware of this year, just how much, how easy it is to get caught up in my own stuff and what's going on and my problems and my, you know, the things that I don't have, the things that I'm trying to get, the things that I want to do, and, you know, on and on and on. And there's nothing wrong with those. You know, it's nothing wrong with having goals. But, you know, there are people that I walk by without even looking at. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know if they need the change I have in my pocket. You know, what I say is not enough. And to them is a hot cup of coffee. You know, it's just slowing down enough to notice what's going on around you, who's around you, stopping to love someone else and think about someone else is huge. It opens our world up so much because it opens our heart up. And we're able to actually see the need that exists. Just looking people in the eye, just looking at each other and saying, that's another human being. You know, whether they're dirty or not showered or, you know, a billionaire or whatever their situation is, black, white, male, female, you know, they're human. And being able to look upon them with the eyes, with loving eyes, as God looks at us, you know, it doesn't have to be something that costs you a lot of money or a lot of time. Just regarding somebody as another living, breathing human being, that shows dignity. That shows, that extends grace to someone. I see you. I see you. You matter. You matter. That can make or break somebody's whole day. That's all.
That's true. That's true. I mean, because we have to look at people. We have to care. We have to, because someone cared for us. And like you say, you never know what someone is going through because, you know, you have to, you know, try to not think of ourselves all the time, really, and just and have a good face and a good attitude and a good, you know, have a smile because you just never know when someone needs it, you know. It's like I feel like it's a waste of life to just go through just a second of unhappiness, a second of just, you know, a frown on my face. I just want to be, you know, have a good face at all times because you never know when your last time going to be. That's how quick, you know, things happen and how quick we could be, you know, just kind of lifted up out of here, you know. So, yeah,
amen.
It's mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for that, Lakeisha.
You know, that was
anybody
very.
Her
words were so impactful because it makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
What is your reason for being here? What is your mission? What are you here for? And then sometimes a kind word to somebody, it means a whole lot to them. It can make a person smile. You know, I tease Miss Clyburn all the time. I say that, you know, her and Pastor O, they can come out with a laughter and it lights up a room. And they could get their point across with a smile. And people really have to sit back and listen because it's the aura that they are sitting out there. And I think that if we all look at our aura and what we are projecting out there, if the aura is right, sometimes that spiritual connection can reach that person. And going back, I think somebody said something about how many children are out there homeless. I was thinking when I was listening to the news, and they said the libraries are only, people can come in the libraries, but only during operational time. But the centers that they have available for people, I said, now, how are people going to get that far to those centers to try to stay warm? By the time they walk all the way to those centers, they will be froze.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were so far away, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of makes me wonder, what... You know that this weather was coming, so wouldn't it have been for something that the city could have, or somebody's organization could have round them up and got them to the centers early, because you knew that at a certain time last night the temperature was going to drop to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that I had on my mind when I was watching the news this morning. And I saw where they had centers for people to come in, but they were so far away. Average person, unless they live in that area, really could not get to those centers.
Wow.
Yeah. I was devastated across the
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I just said that was something that crossed my mind. You know, when we, like the young lady said, that, you know, you get so caught up into your world and you pass people and you really pass people and don't really take a look. But if we slow down for a minute and look at the changes in the world, sometimes the changes are moving faster than us. But that's a very good point. Taking the time to slow down, just look around you. What is new? What is, like, the price of food? You know, it gradually went up, but then it hit everybody. But they were gradually doing this to us, and we didn't stop to look at what the beauty of the world and what is in front of us and what is changing, or even the seasons, how the leaves or the flowers start blooming. Sometimes they bloom early. Sometimes they bloom late. Stopping and looking at that, that's all also an impact. And teaching our children how to stop and look at those things and how fast time is moving. That's a math class in itself with your child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we used to do stargazing, and one time we were looking at the stars, and I think that's when the spaceship was, you know how it goes around the world so many times before it can land. And we actually, and I saw in the news, I had heard about it. I saw it when it passed, and I called some young people. You have to look, you have to look. And you could see it, you know, passing by. That's a science class, and that's spending time with your children or family time. That's a good experience
mm-hmm.
to get together and take note of what's going on, you know? And then sometimes when
mm-hmm.
kids see mom and daddy both interested in it, they become interested in it. So, you know, that's just food for thought.
Mm-hmm. I know that the rescue mission does a lot of helping the homeless people out there. They go out and they give them, you know, hot coffee and hot things to keep them warm, hand warmers and hats and gloves and things like that. And then I think they have transportation to bring them into those warming places. But, you know, I don't hear about it as much anymore like I used to. And so that just lets you know that the times have changed, whereas the next generation has not been taught to go in and help. So, because I don't hear about it as much and know the people, because I used to know people that went and volunteered and kind of ran those programs and did those volunteer things, and they would, you know, ask you to help. And so, and, you know, that's what we're lacking now is the next generation being taught to help with things like that. Because they never know when they're going to be in a situation like that. So those are some good things that we could do to take our kids out and have them volunteer, show them how to volunteer in places like that. You know, I know my sister used to take her boys down to the rescue mission and just show them what homelessness looks like, you know, so that they could appreciate the home that they have, you know, if they would get in trouble or be talking back or doing something they wasn't supposed to do. She would take them down there and sometimes leave them there and just to let them get to, you know, get the feel of how it could be, you know, if they didn't want to do their food work. So, yeah, that's a possibility. You know,
mm-hmm. COVID put a damper on a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with everything being airborne, you know, you have to be a little bit more cautious now, and that might be one of the reasons you don't see too many people volunteering anymore for those type of instances because the airborne, the COVID is so airborne,
mm-hmm.
And people, you know, And that's understandable. People value their life. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Sad about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess that did kind of, we lost a lot of people, and then that did kind of deter people from going in to help. But, you know, yeah, we have to try to get that going back because it's still homeless people. But you never heard of the homeless people being sick or getting COVID, and they were out in the elements, you know. So, yeah.
That's
cold
a very
weather
good
like
idea.
That. Mm-hmm.
That's a good idea to get the kids exposed to volunteering early. Because that's something that I didn't get when I was a kid. I didn't get exposed to volunteering until I had a whole job. And they said, come on, let's volunteer. And that was my first exposure to, first idea to give of my time.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I think that's the issue with families is that we don't show our kids things until it's later. We have to show them early. They're not exposed enough, and we don't expose them to things that they're going to deal with in the future that's going to help their future. You know, volunteering helps your future. And so we hold back instead of giving them all that we could give them. It would be all that you could be. We hold back too much, whereas they need to be exposed like full speed ahead, even at the age, you know, up to the age of when they become 1, 2, 3. We have to give them all that we could give them, you know, even at 1. It's not too early to teach them how to go swimming. Not too early for that. It's not too early to teach them how to roller skate. It's not too early to teach them the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s. Give them a lot early. Who's at 5728? Do you have a comment? You want to get in on this roundtable discussion? You have your hand raised. So seven, last four digits, 5728. Okay. Well, whenever you want to have a word, just jump right on in. Okay. I have your mic open. And you can jump right on in whenever you feel that you need to, that you want to express, okay? Yeah, so like I said, it's, we have to start early training and teaching. We can't wait too late, like Ms. Johnson just said. She was grown to be able to find out how to volunteer. Yeah. And even when if you decide to go into a career, we have to start our kids early, our children, youth early with choosing a career, because even when I go to my doctor's appointment, they have young kids in there, 14, 15 years old, that's planning on being doctors. And they're in there looking, observing, you know, they ask, can they touch? You know, you have to get permission, but, you know, we give them those opportunities. And so that's volunteering and it's, you know, learning, you know, getting what you need to get early. You know, you decide that you want to be a doctor, a physical therapist, a nurse or whatever. We have to take our kids out to these venues, out to these places, and get them tied in to the professions that they want to choose to go into. How that sound?
And you know what? That might be a good field trip for some of our youth, planning things to plan for 2023, you know, that they can go on a field trip and talk to doctors and nurses and all of the different fields that's in the medical field that do not come in contact with actually a lot of people. So, but it, and I like how you started off with all these different professions. There is a documentary, The Secret of the Hospital. Sometimes you can look at that and see how the hospital function and all of these different people play major roles behind the scene to make sure that everything runs smoothly every day. And we only see the ones that front, but it's the ones that's behind the scene. And some of those positions pay quite well, you know. And that's what our children need to be exposed to, you know. What level do you want to be at when you pick in your profession? If you don't go to college, well, this is the bracket you will be at. But you have to be disciplined and consistent on something. And I heard a young person say to me, one of the ones that we were tutoring, Kathy, and he said, you don't have to go to college to be wealthy. And I said, well, you have to be consistent. Now, I said you like to play basketball, but from my understanding, Curry, in order for him to be so great, he's the first one at practice. He's the last one to leave. He has a consistency with his three-pointers. What are you doing? You have to be consistent in what you are doing, whatever your passion is. And so when we break it down to him that why going to college or getting a trade or getting some type of skill, you have to be good at something for whatever you are going to connect, be good at it, be consistent with it. And so he kind of understood that. But in his mind, because someone told him you don't have to go to college, he lost that dream. And I said, well, if you're playing professional ball and something happens to you and your whole career ends, what do you have to fall back on? Because I'm a young man that was at a university, on a university scholarship, playing professional ball. The scouts were looking at him, possibly going pro. Someone got jealous, and while they were playing, they jumped up and came down on his foot with all of their weight and cracked the bone in his foot. Well, his career was over. His scholarship was over because there was a consensual agreement. Your scholarship is here as long as you can play. Well, right now, you're in a position that, in essence, they didn't need him anymore because he had gotten injured. So what do you have to fall back on? He went on and finished college, you know, but he had to leave that university. So, you know, we have to prepare our children, because I was thinking what he was saying. I remember when our young man was younger, he volunteered. He did all of these different things. He was involved in this, experiencing this, but we did not teach him. We did not teach him some fundamentals of loss. And it took a turn on him for a minute. And you know, Kathy, it took all of us to pull him together, to keep him keep him balanced, because, you know, we did not teach him loss.
So I hadn't even thought about
how to handle loss, you know, and that goes back to what the young lady said earlier. Getting caught up in your everyday life, that sometimes you have to stop for a minute. And that was a very good point that she said. You know,
like
we do all these things. But it's like a rat race. And we're not sitting back and taking the time and looking at or smelling the roses that God gave us. And then when something happens, you're no longer balanced.
Yeah. Life is about sharing. It really is. And, you know, and then you say, you know, our kids are behind because we don't, integrate them. We don't put them out there and teach them, you know, things that they should already know. Once they get to a certain point, there's a lot of things that they should know that they don't know. And it's very discouraging to see, you know, talking to the youth that I talk to and working with the kids on my block, and seeing how far behind we are. You know, if you got 10 kids that you're working with and all 10 of them are way behind, that's a problem. That's a serious problem that they're all way behind. So just think, each block, your whole community, if you talk to 10 kids and they're all behind, just look what you have. Look what we have. Look what we have to look forward to if we don't do anything. And so it's important to take some time to communicate with these, with the youth, and find out what's on their mind. Find out where they are in their learning and what they, you know, if they can even read. Quality time is very important. And if the parents would just take take the time to find out what their kid, you know, where they're lacking or what they need. Just communicate with them. And then just invest in them in some kind of way. Invest in what they need.
Mm-hmm. But you remember, Kathy, when, and this mm-hmm. just came to my mind when you were talking. When we mm-hmm. were kids, everybody sat around and watched Lassie together. And mm-hmm. the kids on the floor, or they, what was it, Bonanza? But the parents mm-hmm. were sitting back analyzing your behavior mm-hmm. while you were doing family mm-hmm. time. And mm-hmm. everybody, you know, it was a group of you, or you played games. And they were mm-hmm. watching behavior. And when you played a game, if you didn't know how to share, if you were selfish or, and, you know, we didn't look at the kids. They were evaluating us and correcting us and nurturing us. But they looked mm-hmm. at you individual to see what was needed with you when they mm-hmm. did those games. And you played games and sharing and getting along with people. But they don't do that anymore, because back then people sat and everybody ate dinner together.
Mm-hmm.
Now mm-hmm. people are eating at different times, or they're eating mm-hmm. on the go. Eating are on the go, or I know the kids now will take their food to their room.
Mm.
When we were coming up, there was no food in the room. Everybody sat down and ate dinner together. But they don't do that because they don't. But then, you know, everybody's just rushing, trying to. And then a lot of times people have different work shifts that couples are married and they on the run and passing each other maybe 10, 15 minutes together to get this one to this program or that exercise or that activity. And it's a rat race.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us are caught up in that rat race. You don't even realize you're a part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you are... Mm-hmm. going along with the rest of the world, because you're always encouraged to work more overtime and buy more things and mm-hmm. you know, spend as much time making money and just being a part of that go. I mean, our whole world is like that. So mm-hmm. It's not just us, but one of the problems with us is that we don't have the same kind of resources that other groups do. So, you know, most of our moms are not home cooking dinner while the dad is at work and the kids are at school, and then they can sit down together and have dinner as a family and watch TV together. Like, that doesn't happen for us. It exists. There's some families that are like that, but the majority of us if there are two parents in the home, both are working, and like the woman was saying, you know, earlier, they're passing each other like a ship in the night. You know, everybody is on the go. Everybody is on the go because there's this drive that said that it feels like we have to. Like if we're not doing everything and running at, you know, the light speed of light, we're lazy or we're not doing it right or we're not ambitious or and honestly, you know, our relationships, our family, our children are the ones who they suffer the consequences of that, you know.
Yeah.
And that's if everything is ideal. Like that's if there are two parents in the house and, you know, the kids don't have any learning disabilities or there's no drugs or alcohol present or, you know, incest or any of those things that really, you know, make an issue in a family and destroy a family. That's just, if, you know, just normal. The normal American way is for us to go, 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 do as much as we can, make as much money as we can. And, you know, it's really sad because, you know, we are consumed with having more and buying more and getting more and doing more. And, you know, we don't allow ourselves to be more. You know, we don't do things that help us to be more mindful of our communities, more mindful of what's going on with our children. You know, if we don't give ourselves the time and space to love on ourselves, to pay attention to ourselves, to, you know, challenge ourselves mentally or, you know, take care of ourselves, you know, all of that stuff, all of the love and connection, it just kind of, it gets tossed in the wash. It just kind of, oh, I'll get to it. And next thing you know, you are sicker than you thought you were. Or, you know, you finally got time to make your appointment and, you know, like, Kathy was saying earlier, you know, there's no one there to even see you, you know, like, and sometimes we wait, especially with the healthcare system that we have in place, we wait because we don't want to pay all this money and we don't know how much it's going to cost and, you know, so we'll put stuff off in a heartbeat because, oh, it's not that bad. And then, you know, next thing you know, it's at the point where it is that bad. You know, and there's not as much as you can do. But we're not conditioned to take that time for ourselves. We're not conditioned to love on ourselves, to love on our families, to love on our children, to love on our neighbors. We are caught up in go, go, go. And we're caught up in achieving and getting more. And, you know, it's really... it's sad to me because you really, really have to pay attention. It's easy to get caught up. It's just, it's too easy. You know, I mean, how many of us have spent way too much for Christmas this year? And how many have done that every single year? It happens. It happens all the time. You know, like 2 weeks from now, we're going to be struggling trying to figure out how to pay for what we just bought for Christmas and toys under the bed, broken, and they don't play with them no more. You know, it's insane. It is insane. But that's what we have come to believe is doing right by our kids and, you know, showing up for them and being there for them is buying them stuff, taking them to McDonald's and, you know, making sure they got the latest Jordans on. And it's just like, that don't do nothing for that kid's brain. That don't do nothing for his future because he going to grow out of them shoes. Or like I said, it's gonna be broken under the bed. It's not just us not doing what we're supposed to be doing. There's a lot of stuff in place that we just, like I said, we don't even think about. It's just happening, and we get caught up because we don't even realize we caught up. We don't have time to think about it. We ain't got time to think about it. We got time to get to go. I gotta get to work. I gotta get to the office. I gotta get to school so I can get there on time. I was late 2 times this week already, so I gotta make sure I'm, you know, just constant. You know, constant go. And until you stop and think about it, that you just caught up.
So that's what Bring Back the Family is about. We're just trying to get the awareness out there so that we can pay more attention to what our youth need, what our kids need, and bring that family atmosphere back. It's been defunct too long. So I think if we just get the word out there, and so if we get back, you know, rejuvenated as far as what we should be doing for our youth and our kids, because they're showing us something different. We're seeing, you know, what's the result of all of this, you know, neglect and what it's doing. We're seeing the result of it. They're being locked up. You know, juvenile system is just full. And so if we don't get a handle on it, then none of us will be safe. Now, you have little ones. What are you doing to help them to be the best that they could be? Tell us something so that we could do, and that, you know, somebody could listen to that and hear what, you know, what we need to do to help. We need to talk to moms with young kids, you know. How do you, you know, keep your kids in good grades, you know? What do you do? Help somebody with that.
Well,
you know, what they could do.
I don't want to come off like I know so much. One thing that I am working on and that I have been trying to get in the mindset for my kids is making sure that they understand who they are, okay, what they are capable of, listening to them and encouraging them in areas where they are strong and that they really have an interest. Everybody is not going to go to the NFL or be on stage. You know, everybody is not going to go to college. There's some that will, and there are some that will do successfully, who will be successful in those areas. Absolutely. You know, you don't want to dampen a kid's dream. At the same time, you know, that's not everybody's story. That's not going to be everybody's future. So what I spend the majority of my time with my kids is just knowing who they are, getting to know them, helping them to question, helping them to get to know who they are and what they like. You know, not forcing them in any particular direction, you know, but if they show an interest, you know, making sure that I can help them as much as I can, you know, to pursue that interest. And then not being disappointed when they decide that that's not for them. Because I think there's a lot of pressure on kids growing up, especially when I'll speak for myself. I feel like as I was growing up, you know, I had a lot of, I was given a lot, there was a lot of expected of me, which is fine. But I lived a long time trying to live up to other people's expectations. expectation, and trying to pretend like, you know, trying to pretend like I was okay with that. And it really, you know, I don't think anybody, you know, had any bad intentions. It just, I was set up to live somebody else's life. And when I didn't do that, I disappointed a lot of people. I found myself in a situation where I just didn't know who I was or what I wanted to do, because I had been so long looking at other people to tell me what to do and tell me what they expected, and then my job was to make them happy. And in my opinion, that's a recipe for disaster, because, you know, you live for other people, and then you end up disappointing a lot of people, you know, the longer it goes on. So it can be devastating, to be honest. It can be devastating because, you know, you don't know who you are or what you're about or what you like or what you want. You just know what you've been told. So, you know, getting to be an adult in this world, you know, at a certain point, it's just you. And if you don't know who you are, or what you like, or you don't have exposure to opportunities and or even the encouragement to try, you end up graduating from high school, hopefully, or you end up being out in this world, and it's like, well, what do I do now? What do I do now? So I don't want to make things down or anything, but I feel like it's important to let our kids be who they are, you know, not put them in danger or jeopardy, or not, you know, let them go off willy-nilly. But, you know, I think, for example, my daughter, I'm not sure she's going to go to college. And she's 10. But she's very creative, very creative person. So what I've been doing with her is teaching her and working with her on creating her own products and getting to the point where she knows how to sell them. And that is something that I think we've lost. That's another thing that I think we've lost in our families, is passing on those skills that's going to help people to earn money and to take care of themselves, that are different than going to college, you know, because that was, for a long time, that was our thing. You know, you were successful as a parent when you were able to, for your kids to go to college. Like, that was an honor and a big thing to do, and it still is. It still is. But it is not for everybody. And there are plenty of barbers and hairdressers and, you know, carpenters and plumbers and, you know, artists. Like, my daughter and I, she was in a craft fair at our school recently, and all the kids who are creative like that, they made items to sell at their school. And people came and they bought their stuff. They had like a marketplace. People came and bought their stuff. And so they were able to, you know, go from beginning to end. They bought their supplies and made their products. And then they marketed them. They came up with prices for them. And they sold them. And they made money. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome to see them, to see them doing that, you know. And it's just, it's simple. You know, it's not, it doesn't take a lot of, I don't know, preparation to be able to see somebody. Okay, so, you know, you like to bake. Okay, so let's get you a few recipes, and then, you know, you're going to make pound cakes or whatever it is, cookies. And you make your cookies and you sell them, you know.
Yeah, it's important to be in tune with their gifts and talents, you know, because you're with them, you know, all the time. And so I think that's important to the parents to be in tune with their kids and just watch them and see what they love to do and what their gifts and talents are, because we're the ones that's going to have to, you know, lead and guide them into the way, you know, to the talents, you know, that they have, and let them know, oh, you got a talent. And like you said, put them and let them get involved in the talent that you see, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's ideal. That's good. Yeah, I like that.
Ladies,
that's ideal.
Business. Apologize. Mm-hmm. I have to go. But it's been such a great time having talking with you, and I am so grateful for the invitation, the opportunity to meet all of you and to speak with you tonight. So I wish you so well, and I wish God bless you and have a great day.
Well, thank you.
Thank you
for joining us tonight, and you know, we look forward to working with us when we do our programs, because I know that you have a lot of skills that you want to implement as far as helping the youth and things like that. So we're going to look forward to that. We know that you are very resourceful and have a lot to offer, you know, to the youth and people in general as far as resumes and what is it called?
All right. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. I will definitely do that. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Thanks for joining us. Okay. All right. Good deal.
Well, I really appreciate her input.
Hello.
Hey, this is me. How you doing, Miss Kathy?
Oh, fine, Mr. McFall. How you doing?
Listen, happy holidays to you and your worldwide audience. I just want to just comment from the sister who just got off. She said something. She said she tried to live her life to make other people happy, and she didn't know what she wanted to do. Now, she went through a school system 13 years and didn't know what she wanted to do. And you're talking about the black family and bring back the black family. You know, I've been listening to you for a little while, and I love what you're doing. I want you to know that. I love what you're doing. I saw something the other day. I saw a fella today, 2 degrees, about 4 little kids, out of the bus. I don't think none of them was over 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, until, as I say all the time, the school system has failed us. I mean, let's throw that out the equation. Because it's called, you ever heard of a push-out? What's the difference between a push-out and a drop-out? You know what a push-out is?
Enlighten us.
Somebody who sit in school, and he'll get if he's quiet, they just give him a D minus and just push him out instead of dropping out. There's no real difference.
Right.
And my point is, until the family, I'm talking about men and women, stop having irresponsible sex, not having a purpose and a vision for these kids. I mean, what you're doing, we need 1,000 more of these shows. But the men got to be like your father. The school system, I'm not going to even go at them. They should just really close them down and just start from scratch. It's no different than what we got going on. Everybody getting pensions, and I was a part of this. I mean, it's an atrocity. You know, when I sit back, you're talking about reading scores. You're talking about math scores. You're talking about everybody got paid. the students still can't read. Everybody getting pensions, mm-hmm. and the students still can't read. And the parents, God bless their souls, they went through the system. We're talking about generational mm-hmm. of ignorance. So, you know, until you're talking about holistic, you know, it got to be church, family, school on the same accord. I got a lot of friends all over the country, and particularly when you talk about the Jewish people, they get mad. The guy tell me our program been working for 6,000 years. And I'm not going to be down on black people too much, because if you look at colonialism, you look at the Berlin Conference of slavery for 300 years, I mean, we was messed up. And I know some people say, well, that was then. Today is now. It's called remnants. It's called if it took 300 years for them to put us in chattel slavery, it's going to take another – we only been free for like 160 years. It's going to take another 140 to get back even, to get back even. Mm-hmm. But what you're doing is a brick, is a foundational piece, and this thing will live because you're planting seeds. And I'm thinking about that mm-hmm. sister who just got off the phone. We got to teach our kids to be themselves. The school system teaches mm-hmm. them how to be like everybody else, assuming everybody's going to college, assuming everybody's going to go and be in a fraternity. Like the girl said, everybody can't be Beyonce or go to the NBA or the NFL. We have to have some skilled mm-hmm. trained people. We have to have some you know, think about Dr. Latimer. He Dr. Lewis Latimer, he created the light that we see right out in front of your house. Think about, some innovators. We keep pushing until we get this economic, that whole holistic religion, economics, and school, they got to work together. Because the school people mm-hmm. think they know all the answers, and most of them, if you take their degree away from them, see, you're in bad shape when you don't control your water. You're in bad shape when you don't control your food. You're in bad shape when you don't even control the image that you go pray for. You know, look at the bleaching cream that they sell in Africa. Look at all the weave. And I'm not knocking my sisters who wear that weave. I got daughters, they wear that weave. That weave is another... self-hate. God gave you natural hair. Mm-hmm. If mama hate herself,
sure did.
If mama hate herself, what's she teaching her baby? I think about the young lady just got off the phone. She spent a great deal of her time trying to please other people. We got to teach kids to be individuals. School systems mm-hmm. don't teach individuality. They teach conformity. The kid who sits in the chair and be nice, and they can cheat, lie, and the teachers don't care about. I mean, the teachers do care. Like, I can't say the teachers don't care. I met so many good teachers. But at the end of the day, the real lesson starts at the house. It starts at home. Mm-hmm. You can go adopt as many kids as you want, and God bless your soul. What you're doing is like taking a teaspoon of water out of the Atlantic Ocean. Yeah, you're making, but the big wave, I know you say bring back the family. But bringing back the family got to start with a spiritual base. You know, mm-hmm. we can't be talking about preachers getting helicopters and worrying about who got the biggest church in Detroit. You look at all these big churches, bigger than the Palace, bigger than Little Caesars Arena. But if these churches were so effective, why is it these little Negroes, or whatever they call it nowadays, ride Rosa Parks? Why is it that we got people have to have bars in their house? That is just Detroit, Baltimore, Watts. Just a sickness. When you don't love yourself and don't love your community, this is, how can I say it? I mean, as the lady said, I don't want to come across like I know it all. I spent 27 years trying to fight this foolishness, and it's getting worse. I mean, I just sit back and say mm-hmm. to myself, and I say to you, you keep fighting, Kathy. I love the kids. I love the kids all over the country. But I just want to let your mm-hmm. audience know that women, y'all control everything. I'm going to just tell you the truth. I mean, men should be controlling. But if you look at Jezebel, Delilah, you look at what David did to Uriah, it was over a woman. You look at Samson and Delilah. We don't have to talk about it, but I'm not saying just from a sexual point of view. But the ladies, you got to pick your men a little better than you're doing. And men, we got to quit running up in these ladies, dropping these seeds off with no intentions of being around. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at the jail-to-prison pipeline, and the jail-to-prison pipeline starts at public schools. I'm going to say that again. I don't count Renaissance and CAS.
Mm-hmm.
You go look at, as we talked before, the reading scores, you say enlighten you. The mamas can't read because everybody on TikTok. The daddy ain't around. And the kid left to his own self. I mean, when you sit back and look at the kid at the bus stop when it's sub-zero, and I don't want to sound judgmental because we don't know the situation, but no kid should be at the bus stop 0 degrees with no hat, no coat. What kind of parenting is that? What kind of parenting
mm-hmm.
is that? Or am I wrong to point that out?
Yeah.
Well, it's up to us if we see them out there like that. It's up to us to, you know, next time we see them have a hat and gloves and whatever they need for them.
But yes, so in this world we live in,
this
world we live in, Miss Kathy,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people with the Me Too, you know, people can look at that, and that can be a situation where you kind of kidnap the kids. So men, you know, used to be a time when I was a principal, all the female teachers, I would take the snow off their car, being a gentleman. But with this
mm-hmm.
Me Too
mm-hmm.
and trying to help kids, that can be interpreted a different way. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I thought about it. I rolled back around, but give them some hats. It wouldn't look like I was. I mean, it look crazy nowadays. I mean, I hate to say it that way. I mean, I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying.
It's a lot going on. It is, and I do understand that. I watch Criminal Minds, and I watch that show Forensic Files almost every night, and I see how people take a dog and lure a kid away and things like that, you know. So, you know, and our generation cared about kids, so I cannot stop doing what I've been doing. I see kids walking by themselves, young girls walking by themselves, and sometimes I just follow them and make sure that they're getting where they're going without somebody
let me
behind
tell you something.
Them. So
I don't want to say any names. I mean, there's so many, but see, the ladies shouldn't have to do that. It takes men. Ladies, you guys have done your job. You've done your job. And God designed you guys. I mean, I want you to think I'm chauvinistic, but here's the deal. God put man in position to be in control. Okay, you are designed
mm-hmm.
to be a helpmate to us. You're designed to be a helpmate. Your job
mm-hmm.
is not to be out here acting like no man. Your job, God gave you, it's called mammy glands. Those glands for a baby to suck on. You ain't got no business out here cutting no trees or digging no ditches. You saw what they did in Ukraine when they got the big fighting. They told all the women and the kids to leave, and all the men stay to fight. I didn't hear.
Mm-hmm.
Clinton and all the ladies talk about, well, we need our rights. We want to stay here and fight. They got the hell out of Dodge. It takes men. It takes
mm-hmm.
men to be men. Men like your father. I can remember on Annabelle, me and your brother Ken, we knew when your father was around, first, I didn't say we were no saints. We didn't cuss. We had men in the neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
you know. We had men
mm-hmm.
who we respected. And it's like, it's an old experiment. I'm going to send it to you. They took all the male lions out of a park, all the big males, and they left the
mm-hmm.
juveniles. And the juveniles, the juveniles started tearing up, killing hippopotamuses and doing whatever. And they put the men back. And guess what? In 3 days, order was restored.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what I said? And I'm just saying, don't get me wrong. Women
can't be men. Mm-hmm.
And listen, I'm talking on your radio show, and I want your audience
mm-hmm.
to understand in this Christmas holiday season, until
mm-hmm.
we get this family thing together, we could be sitting here all the time. And then, as we talked about that movie Claudine, you remember that movie Claudine back in the day with Diana Curl?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you remember when that black woman got that iron, they wanted to know where the iron come from, right? And it gave her incentive to run that man out the house. Think about that. Then you remember the Ten Commandments. Who did they kill? The firstborn who? You remember the Ten Commandments on the Passover with the blood? Who did they kill? The firstborn who? The firstborn boy, right?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You remember that? Why do you think they did that? Why? I ain't putting you on the spot. I know you, you got thousands of viewers all over the world. I mean, listeners. But why? Because they know they knew the Messiah was coming, and they had to kill him in war. When men take over and kill people, they call the prize of the war, they call it the booty. So when they kill all the men, they take over all the women, impregnate them, and they continue to move on with their life. You never looked at that. So it get back in our neighborhoods, you know, we play football, basketball, the same strategies that the Celtics have or the Pistons have is we're a tribe. But our tribe, we have not really, really, you know, for 300 years we've been mangled. And what you're doing on your radio show, and I'm glad you had me on as a guest, you know, you just keep working, because remember, a prophet is never a prophet in his own home. I know you heard that before. That's in the Bible. So, you know, I hope I didn't monopolize too much of your time. Again, thank you for letting me express my opinion, and I'm going to keep listening to your show. And, you know, I just want to let you know and your audience know, be yourself, be true to yourself. And until we understand we are teammates, men and women, God made us all together to work. Okay. And all this, what you're doing, like I say, I'm at the point with these young boys. I see them, and it's our fault. The music, I'm not knocking music. I love music, but it's just, I was somewhere to get some gas, and I heard this guy, the song say, slap that B, slap that B. That's all the song said. And the young boys listened. So think about if whoever designed that, whoever made that, whoever promoted that in the airway, if we don't respect that woman, remember, the community is only as good as the woman. If the woman is not happy, the baby's not happy. If the baby's not protected, that's why these kids at the bus stop, they don't have heat, they don't have love, nobody let them know that you care. I mean, but anyway though, listen, I'm gonna get off your line and thank you for inviting me.
Someone texted me and said, "On point, Kenny Joe." So that's
cool. That's what they said. Text them back and tell them, look. Tell them I love them. They know I've been fighting for a long time. I'm going to keep fighting. But right now, here's the fight. The fight got to start with mom and daddy or grandma. Mm-hmm. What you doing, and I'm not knocking females because y'all do most of the work in all these black clubs and y'all do the work in the churches. But until men come and be men, and I don't want you to think I'm chauvinistic. I truly believe a man's job is to provide and protect. And y'all out here, out of y'all natural role, your role is to support that man and not to run around with all this foolishness, because that's why we got all these. I don't want your LGBT people to get mad at me, but it take men to raise men. That's all I'm going to say. It take men to raise men. It take women to – I got daughters. I can't do what they mama do. They mama is a woman. I can't do what they mama do. I can act like I can. I can read every biology book about – menstrual cycle and all that, but I can't do that like her mother can tell her. It's like it's God gave us the yin and the yang. But anyway, whoever that person was who signed in, tell them I love them, pray for me, and I don't have all the answers. I'm the most flawed person, you know. But guess what? I know my heart is in the right place. My heart is in the right place. But look, again, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, happy whatever, Happy Holidays. Do what you do. And I'm going to keep listening. And thank you for inviting me on your show. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Come back again.
Wow.
Okay.
Oh, that was so good. Wow.
That's Mr. Kenny Joe McFaul. He enlightens us every time. So that is great. Okay. He covered a lot of bases there. Everybody has a role to play. And if we all get into our roles, then things should get better. Yeah. Well, time has ran out. Anybody have anything else that they want to comment on before we bring the awesome old to take us home. Okay. Got a lot of listeners today. Just thank everybody for tuning in and listening, and just, you know, make sure that you just tell someone else that we are on Blog Talk on Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m., and we want to, you know, just start get you prepared to do something on your blog, what we're doing here on Bring Back the Family, preparing people to do things on their block for the youth, all the youth around them, the youth and children that they deal with every day. We got to help. We got a lot of work to do, okay? So if everybody is commenting, we will go on to and bring on Pastor O. Jackie, you good? And Ms. Johnson, you good?
Yes, I am just blown away by everything that Mr. McFall said. I'm so glad he called in. And, yeah, wow.
Food for thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So much.
He covered a lot. Yeah, brought it the realization and being real and keeping it real. So yeah, he worked with kids a lot and educator and all of that, businessman. So yeah, a lot of history. This is at 5728. Did you have a comment? 5728. I had your hand raised there. Okay. All right, well, awesome. Oh, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Well, hello there. Good evening.
Hey, how's everybody doing this evening? Johnson and Jackie and Kenny and the other guests. I didn't get her name, but yeah. Awesome show. You know, one of the points that came out tonight was allowing our kids to be who they are. And, you know, we have these aspirations because of what we went through, and we all strive for greatness, and we want greatness for our kids. But all of them might not be college students. You know, all of us believe that somebody has to go on the be the mechanic. Somebody has to be the plumber. You know what I mean? Somebody has to be the electrician. You know, so there are so many things that's out there for them to do. And what we have to do is just make sure they get the basics, the reading, the writing, and the arithmetic, the dreams and the aspirations. They'll have those on their own. And whatever skills that the Lord God gave them when they came here, well, they'll just keep rising to the surface. And so I imagine what we need to do is, back to what you were saying, is pay attention to our kids. Like when the show first started, you would say, what are they doing in school? How is their work going? What was their day like? Communicate with them and let it be a regular communication. Get back to that family unit. Okay, where you actually pay attention to each other, you know, and you can tell what's going on with them. And if you do that, and if you dwell together with them, and the reason I use that word is it means to spend time. Okay, you know, it means to spend a certain degree of time, amount of time with them, so you can get to know them. And if you do, then you'll see what they're good at. Okay, and things they might aspire to. And then you can, without them even knowing it, create an environment where those things are and see how they go after it or not. Be intentional about raising your children instead of being so It's good that we want them to have a better life than the one we had, but, you know, there's a lot of fallacy with that statement. I mean, if we brag about what it was like when we were coming up, then that should be good enough for them. I think the better life that we wanted for them, the one we're giving them today, is not working. And we always talk about it wasn't, it was the values. You know, our values have gone away. It's what Kenny was talking about. It's that everything is out of order. And when you drop God's alignment, and, you know, I was so glad to hear somebody talk about that. When you drop God's alignment, and you know, you have to be so careful. You notice how careful he was with his comments, because we can't even say do it God's way, or this group over here is offended, and now we mm-hmm. and now we're a hater, you know, or like I was accused of. I quoted the Bible. Somebody asked me about the gay lifestyle, and does God hate gay people? No. But does God condone the practice of that lifestyle? No, he does not. And when I tried to give them scriptures to back that up, it became hate speech. So it was good to hear him, or antiquated, outdated. Even though I quoted Old and New Testament scriptures, it made no difference. but we're scared now to speak up for the Lord. I witnessed something the other day. Yeah, they had some prominent Christian celebrity gospel singers and preachers, and they asked them one question: is it right or wrong to practice the gay lifestyle or be into transgenderism? They asked them that simple question. Not one of them mentioned any scripture from the Bible. I mean, they danced around that word, that question, like they were Fred Astaire. I mean, they fancy footwork all around it, but did not quote one scripture. And when they tried to, when they drilled down on them to get them to answer it, it finally surfaced it came to the surface why they wouldn't. They didn't want to offend the LGBT community, because their churches are filled up with them, and they give tithes and offerings, and they don't want to offend them and have them leave. And so they just sort of throw it up in there and say, well, I'm not God. I leave those things up to God. I don't know if it is right or if it isn't right. If whatever people want to do, that's okay. Really? And you're a pastor, a big time. I mean, you'd be surprised and shocked if you knew. I'm not into that, so I'm not going to even mention their names. But you'd be surprised and shocked who they were that fell flat on their face when they answered that question. So when I heard Kenny talking about the problem, he went right to the root of the problem. We have forsaken God's order. Okay, and that's why we're having these problems. When he was talking about, I say it all the time, unmarried people having more sex than married people, having more kids than married people, shacking up as if God said that's okay. It's not even, I mean, this young celebrity, I can't think of her, Keke Palmer, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's all over social media and everywhere. She's pregnant by her boyfriend, okay? And this is cool now. I remember there was a time when folks had shame. Wedlock was a thing. Children out of wedlock could get you sent down south, and then you come back with a little cousin because they didn't want nobody to know that, because there was shame. But now today there's no shame. I mean, boyfriends, girlfriends go out, two dates, or either the first date. They're already in the bed. Have you ever noticed how many children a woman can have and hate the man after they had the children. Don't want to have nothing to do with them. Can't stand them. Then how did you get close enough to have a baby? What happened? When did we drop the ball so bad that we're not even trying to pick it up? What we're trying to do is normalize a lifestyle that is opposite of what God created. And this what we're living, this is the result of that. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's a problem, but we have work to do. Yeah, it's a problem. Yeah, we let it happen, but we have work to do. The Lord didn't give up on the children of Israel. If you've read the Old Testament, we're in the book of Jeremiah now. They were just off the chain from the time they left Egypt. They never did get right. The temple ended up being destroyed, tore down to the ground in AD 70, and the Jews were banished to the four corners of the earth and didn't repatriate back into Jerusalem until Wednesday, May 14, 1958, or 48, when they were declared a state. When we do like they did, we get what they got. A good example of that is the book of Judges. Now, I know that's under the old covenant, under the dispensation of the law, right? But still, the same God then, the same God now. And if the children of Israel, when they forsook the Lord and his ways, okay, they couldn't stand up against their enemies. And they were oppressed. And when they had about enough of that, they would cry out to the Lord and change their ways. And then they could defeat their enemies. And they had peace. And so it goes throughout the book of Judges. When they're with the Lord doing his way, they can't be defeated. They have peace. The other way, not. Mm-hmm. And so it is today. Even though we're Christian, we are starting to okay and become cool with a whole lot of different things that the Lord is not. I mean, see, the wonderful thing, what I really appreciate with Kenny was the way he was bringing it and how straightforward he was with it, how unambiguous he was with it, and it was so refreshing after what I heard last night. It was so refreshing to hear somebody who was brave enough to be Hebrew boy-like. And in these days and times where you got over 72% of the black families is single parent, and it's not that much different for white families. Okay, they're doing the same thing. We're all doing it, okay? But when men, you know, there's a verse that I thought about when Kenny was talking about that. And when you look at how Israel had just fallen apart at the end in the book of Malachi, and then you read this verse in Malachi chapter 4, it says, "See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to the parents." Now watch this. "Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction." And now that's Old Testament. Here's what Paul had to say to Timothy in his final letter to him. He wanted to warn him about what things would be like in the last days. The last days began in AD 30 when the church was born. And we've been in the last days now for 2,022 years. And he tells Timothy, he uses these words, but mark this. Pay attention to this. Watch out for this. This will be a sign that you need to see. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. And he's writing to Christians, not unsaved people. He is not at all speaking to the world. He's speaking to those who belong or say they belong to the body of Christ. Their mouth is saying one thing, but their lifestyle is saying something opposite of what God's word says. My wife's grandmother used to tell me back in the day when I was wilding out, she said, "Reverend Overall, you talk right, but you walk left." And that's the kind of world we're living in today, okay? We got men who dipping in, leaving babies behind, and they never intended to be a father. They only wanted to have sex. That's it. They didn't want a girlfriend. They didn't want a wife. They didn't want to take care of nobody. They wanted to have fun and have sex. And they don't. So when you get pregnant, now it's a Maury Povich show. But it's just. And then when these parents can't take care of the kids, and now they're at the bus stop with no shoes, no coat, no hat. I've seen it. I have seen it. My wife and I saw it, and we that's what started us to try to take care of. It was young girls or even young men and women with kids. And we would help them get up on their feet. And once they got up on their feet, then we'd go to another family. So we've seen it up close. And so, you know, you can understand that it's like that, okay, but you still have an obligation, like Israel Houghton says in his song, Others, I feel responsible now that I've seen. Now that I've seen it, he says, I wonder what I can do to improve 1,000 lives. I feel the absence of love, and it scares me. When we see it, we can't ignore it. I think it's John in 1 John chapter 3. He says, how can we see people in need, have what they need, not give it to them, and call ourselves a child of God? He says, he challenges us by saying, the love of how can the love of God be in that person? So it was real refreshing to hear that we need to do something about our alignment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 speaks to that, or chapter 11 speaks to that as well. The devil knows how to put us in a vulnerable position. And what Kenny was talking about is exactly how he does it. The devil knows God's order. And that's what mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 11 is all about. He knows God's order. Okay? And he is right. If 72% of families, black, white, or other, are run by women, then women are doing their job because they're the ones in the house running the house, right? It's the man who has failed, not the woman. She was just trying to love him. But now you have a house that's out of control. Okay? He talks about that here in Timothy 2. He says, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because in the case of those men, Janice and Jambres, their folly will be clear to everyone. Janice and Jambres were the two who threw down their rods and they became snakes. But then, of course, Moses' rod consumed theirs and turned back into a rod. In other words, the devil is at work. He knows that in the garden, God created Adam, God created Eve, and when they got themselves bounced out and God fixed it up with them, then they started having children. And then we see the devil move in, and he started up with Cain. Okay, and then after that, by the time we get to chapter 8, he got a whole world going crazy, except for Noah and his family. And so he knows God's order. And if he wants to, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So if he doesn't want these Christian houses standing, he has to go in there and divide it. How does he do it? Throughout the alignment. The man, God created the man first. There was no woman. There was just God over Adam, Adam under God. God gave Adam a place to live, a job to do, and a law to keep. Then God created Eve, brought her to Adam. God performed the first marriage. And then these two start having children so they can do what God told them in Genesis 1:26. Be fruitful. Multiply, increase in the earth, subdue it. They start doing that. Well, the devil immediately moves in to break up the order with Cain. Somebody who's going to do what God said he would do in Genesis 3:15, right? God said that there would be those. Satan hates all mankind, so he hates anybody born from a woman. Okay? And the Lord said he would show a difference between those who serve God and those who don't. And then we see it in Cain. He's one who didn't. One of those who would not serve God. And so Satan broke up the order. What that does, what we learned in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is the angels, they know God's order. And when they see God's alignment broken up, that's why it says over there, I believe in verse 10, for the angels' sake. In other words, these angels know God's order. And when they see disorder, they're out. So now there's no guardian angels there. And we know from Job's story what happens when God removes the hedge or the guardian angels. Then Satan is free to go in and have his way. And so that's why it's important that we get back, that we bring back the family, Kathy. And God has laid this weight on your shoulders and made you a voice in all this mess to bring back the family, you know, block by block. Don't be trying to do the whole thing. Just do your block, then another block, then another block. And that's
just your block. That's it.
But it's a great work. It's no different than calling Harriet Tubman to, you know, be brave enough to walk from the south to the north and not by yourself trying to escape and stay away, but to ferry your people to freedom. And that's what the Lord is using you to do. I mean, you know, Mother Wattles, when she started, probably didn't think it would become Focus Hope. Probably thought she would just help some people who needed help in her block. And before you know it, it's a big old giant training institution for people who are trying to come up out of poverty. So, you know, lots of good stuff came out tonight. Even talking about caring for the homeless, training up children, starting with them early, not waiting and waiting and waiting. Okay. The bells are ringing, angels getting their wings. Ooh, every time a bell rings, right, an angel gets their wings.
No, that was a mess. slip of the finger. Getting ready.
Oh, I can hear Eddie Kendrick now. Every time a bell rings, thanks for Christmas wings. That was perfect.
That's okay.
But yeah, but it was a good show. And, you know, Kenny, I've been impressed with him for quite some time because, you know, he came up rough. And, I mean, people know him now. He's doing well, right? But he didn't. Mm-hmm. It didn't start out like that. He worked his way mm-hmm. to where he is. He didn't just get it or have it mm-hmm. given to him. He earned it, every bit of it. And so mm-hmm. to hear him, you know, make so much sense. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
To have his facts together and to understand and be able to draw examples like, you know, killing off all the children in Israel to weaken the killing off all the boys to prevent the growth of the nation. He was afraid of the growth of the nation, and so you kill the boys off, and then that effectively stop, and then you go in and rape the women and you take over the nation. You repopulate it with your own people. And so it's a kind of genocide. And so that's what's happening with us as black folks in particular. You know, it's happening with other races too, not just us, but it's happening with other races. But that's what's happening with us. We're killing off our youth. And if you do that, you prevent new life. You reduce, the whole problem Balak had with Balaam, wanted Balaam to curse Israel to reduce their numbers because Balak was scared of them. And so if you reduce their numbers, then they're not a threat to you. And that's what's now in the big picture, Satan just trying to wipe us out. But in the little picture, man in his head is trying to reduce the numbers so they don't have to be scared of them. They don't want to be replaced. That's the way they see it. They're replacing us.
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid of being replaced. Mm-hmm. But that's just something Satan put in their head so they could justify the nonsense that they do to reduce the numbers. But we're not hurting them. We're helping them reduce the numbers. So we need to keep that in check. But good show.
Yeah. Good show. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in today, all the good comments and we got work, all I know. And the work will get done. It will. So we're just going to continue on with the work, and we're going to have some resources for the youth and just a lot, some programs coming up, and we're just going to do what we could do and take this as far as, you know, God wants it to go and, you know, just look for things to be good with it. That's it. We can only do what we can do. And that's what we're going to do. As long as we try, Mr. King, our neighbor used to say, as long as I'm working, I got work to do. So we got work to do. As long as we're doing it, we got work to do. So that's cool.
Hey,
and
just one more
mm-hmm.
thought. What Kenny said,
mm-hmm.
got to bring
mm-hmm.
the family, the church, the school and the church, all those, he is 100% right. They have to work together.
Mm-hmm.
They have to work together to produce the kind of future that we want. If we say the children are our future, then what kind of future are we preparing for ourselves?
Right. Yeah, we all one big happy family. We just got to hang in there and be happy. And get together and work together. We really got to be a team and stop, you know, going against one another. We have to do that. So great things are coming. Agree? Okay. Well, thank you, Pastor Earl. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Lakeisha, Jackie, and Ms. Johnson. Thank everybody for listening and giving your comments and all that. And we'll be back here next week on Friday, same time. Tune in. Bring your comments. We're just going to keep on discussing and talking about what we're going to take into 2023 and what we're going to do for our youth to make things better for them, give them what they need to make it, okay? That's it. And that's it, and that's all. All minds clear, Pastor O? Everything good? You have any announcements to make for yourself?
Well, let's see. Coming up this weekend is Pastor Terrence going to be preaching tomorrow. Ooh, that's loud. Pastor Terrence going to be preaching tomorrow, and I'll be preaching Sunday. We're going to be finishing out Faith, Finances, and You. Third part is You. We're going to talk about changing you so you can change your finances.
All right. Good deal. Tune in. Same number, same station. This tomorrow is Saturday, and then you'll be preaching on Sunday, 10 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it. All minds clear, and we're just going to we'll see you next Friday, same time, with some more issues and concerns and good quality conversation. Okay? All right. And as always, be the reason someone smiles. Okay? Be the reason someone smiles today. All right. Catch y'all.
This year we've been blessed. What's been given to us? Joy that earthly gifts bring soon will pass away.